हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So continuing with the Mahabharata, the chapter 4, Duryodhana begins his evil schemes. Right? So last time then we met Dronacharya. He had come, the Pandavas and the Kauravas were playing out in the field. A ball got lost in the well. They didn't know how to get it out. Then this mysterious Brahmin showed up, and through his abilities and weaponry and that, by chanting mantras, he invested the grass with potency, got the ball out, then using their bow and arrow, got the ring out. So they were very interested, who is he? So he said, you go tell Bhishma. And then Bhishma, when he heard about it, he knew this must be Drona. So then he came out and invited him to take part as the teacher of the Pandavas. Bhishma said, reside here in the city. You shall enjoy every luxury along with the Kurus. Indeed, the Kurus are at your command. Whatever wealth, kingdoms, and followers belong to our house are also yours. O best of Brahmanas, it is our good fortune that you have arrived here. Drona was given a large, well-furnished house, stocked with everything enjoyable and attended by many servants. He then brought his wife and son to Hastinapur to live among the Kurus with him, and he accepted both the Pandavas and Kauravas as his disciples. Drona taught the princes everything he knew about weaponry. The boys practiced every day from dawn until dusk, right? So they'd get up in the morning, early, Brahma Muhurta, take their bath, you know, do everything, do their prayers, any kind of duties like this. Then they would go and study with him, you know, so this would be a, you know, you could say a gurukul, but like day school kind of thing. Then they would spend with him from when the sunrise until sunset, and then they would go back to their house for the evening, whatever they're doing with the family. As the news of his martial school spread, princes from other kingdoms also came to learn from the famous Drona, right? So he was there specifically for teaching the Kauravas and the Pandavas. But because he's, you know, his you know, glory was known so well among the other kingdoms, then other kings sent their sons, the princes from other kingdoms, to also come and study. The Vrishnis, the Andakas, and other famous and powerful dynasties sent their princes to Drona, and he accepted them all as his pupils. Soon, Drona had thousands of students. Right, so knowing the martial science, then they also know how to organize things and do all that, because they know the field that the Kshatriyas work in. Because some Brahmins, they it's required they know this, because they have to be able to teach the administration and how to do management and how to take care of everything in the kingdom. So therefore, for him to manage thousands of students wasn't a problem. Right? He would know how to do this. Among all the boys, Arjuna excelled at his lessons. He remained always at Drona's side, eager to learn any little skill or extra tip. Right? Because if he's always around, he'll hear him say something. He may be commenting to another student and point out something, you know, because so many thousands of students, there'll be slight differences in what they're understanding or not understanding. And so he's going to be giving all these kind of instructions. And so Arjuna will hear all this. So whatever's been taught to those thousands of students, Arjuna knows. Because otherwise, let's say you're good at something. So because you're good, you're told some, you know, one main thing, you're able to do it, and then you move on. But now there's so many fine points in there that you just somehow naturally did. But now when he's explaining it to another student who didn't necessarily catch it so easily, or only caught one part, not another part, then Drona will explain that. And by that explanation, Arjuna will now know what are all the details of what he just naturally did. And so that will make him even more aware. His ability, speed, perseverance, and determination were unequaled by the other princes. Arjuna became foremost. Drona felt none could match his skills. Right? So his ability means how much he could do, right? Because someone can be very good at something. Let's say someone can cook, and they can cook, let's say, sabjis very nicely, but they can't cook sweets. Or so that means they their ability is there, but their ability is limited up to a certain degree. So his ability, he had the best ability, so he could do the maximum amount of whatever skills that Drona had to teach. And then his speed, how quickly he could do that, because when you're dealing with the martial arts, much of the time, speed is very, very important, especially if you're dealing with arrows and that. Perseverance means that he just kept at it. Doesn't matter what's going on, he just whatever difficulty came up or something that he didn't catch or understand, he would just keep going. And that determination, that focus that he had. So no one else had that. You know, if they didn't understand something, you might get disturbed or that. He would just keep going. He doesn't understand, just keep going until you do. Out of his natural fatherly affection, Drona also wished to impart extra lessons to his own son, Ashwatthama. He gave all the princes narrow-mouthed water pots and asked them to fill them at the river. But to his own son, he gave a wide-mouthed pot so he could return first and receive extra teaching. Right? Because he wanted to teach him something that the other students didn't know. Because if they're all around, somebody's going to hear. So when they have to fill the water pots, he give them all, you know, those the clay pots, the normal ones, are fat like this, and they have this very thin mouth. And so to fill that, the air has to go in. You put it under water, it'll glug, 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 glug. It'll take some time to fill up. But if you have a wide mouth one, you just put it in the water and pull it out. So in that little bit of time, he could teach them very fine, very technical things. Right? So that means his son was also very qualified, that in such a short time that he could be trained in something. But he wanted to train in something that the others didn't know. Right? Realizing Drona's intentions, right? So Arjuna figured this out. Arjuna filled his own pot using a celestial water weapon and thus returned before Ashwatthama. Right? Because Ashwatthama still had to fill the pot. But Arjuna just filled it with a celestial weapon and just came before. Drona smiled when he saw Arjuna's determination. His desire to learn from his preceptor was beyond compare. So he was the best student. So he sees that, you know, everyone sees he's the best warrior. That's because he's the best student, right? He's the best leader because he's the best follower. Arjuna always carefully worshipped Drona and was attentive to his every command. Right, so he follows. It's not that sometimes he follows or not, or takes it seriously or not. He's always there, so that's why he becomes the best. Because of his devotion to studies and his guru, he became Drona's favorite student. Right, so even above his own son. You know, he has that natural fatherly affection, but still Arjuna was the best student. One night, Arjuna was eating his meal. Suddenly, the lamp blew out. It was pitch black. Arjuna continued to eat as if nothing had happened. As he did so, he realized that simply by habit, he was able to place the food in his mouth, although he could not see anything in the darkness. He then began to practice with his bow and arrows at night, aiming at invisible targets. Drona was overjoyed to see this dedication. He told Arjuna, "I shall make you unmatched upon the earth. No warrior shall be your equal." So he went out once he figured out, because when you're eating, you do it so much that even the light goes out, you know where your mouth is, you know where the food is, you know. So then he understood, in night you could also fight, because you know where the target is, you know the bow and arrow, and then just by that level of understanding. So it goes beyond just directly the senses perceiving, that you have that through that habit, it becomes, you know, just part of what you do. And so then that makes his skill even greater, because he doesn't have to think about it. right? Because when you're just eating, you don't think about it. You don't have to think, okay, now grab that. Now pick it up. Okay, get it in your mouth. Don't get it on your cheek or nose or something. You don't have to do that. You just pick it up and put it in your mouth. You're that expert, right? If you have to think about it, you're not so expert. So that's the point. Arjuna came to that level. Drona then taught Arjuna how to fight on horseback, on an elephant, from chariots, and on the ground. He showed him all the skills of fighting with clubs, swords, lances, spears, and darts, as well as many other types of weapons. Drona also taught him how to contend with any number of warriors fighting at once. As Drona promised, his skill soon became without compare on earth. Yes, so you're learning the bows and arrows, you're learning the basic fighting and everything, but then you have to apply that, right? So then he can apply it on a horse, on an elephant, in a chariot, because all those things are moving. Because otherwise you're standing on the ground's not moving. And so the target may be moving, but you're not moving, right? At first you practice with a target that doesn't move. Then you can practice with a target that does move. But now he's learning how to deal on the target's moving and he is moving. Right, so it just takes more and more skill. And then the variety of weapons, everything that a Kshatriya would use. Bow and arrow, the clubs, the swords, lances, spears, and darts. Right, darts would be shorter ones that you throw. Spears are longer. Lances then are also long, but they have like swords at the end and you fight with them. It's just like a very long sword. One day, a prince of the Nishada tribe of the forest dwellers asked Drona to teach him. Because the Nishadas, they're a tribe of forest dwellers that they stay out and they have their lifestyle. They're very famous, the Nishadas. And so they have their own customs, their own things. So they don't move with the members of the Varnashram system. It's not that what they do is, it's just they do these things, but in their own. If they go in and deal with others, they'll follow all the rules that are there. But they prefer to be out in the forest because then they can live their own lifestyle. Of course, they'll have their own rules and everything, but still, they're forest dwellers. His name was Ekalavya. Drona replied that his school was only for kings and princes. Ekalavya went away dismayed. Right, so he's the son of the king of the Nishadas, but they're still not Kshatriyas. So in here, someone may think but he's come. He's a sincere student. He really wants to know and everything like that. And yes, he may be a good student and all that, but we also have to see the character, the inherent character that's there. So the Kshatriyas, are going to follow and work in a particular level of codes, the Kshatriya code. But if someone is coming from the forest, there's every chance they won't follow that. So then they'll have the knowledge of the Kshatriyas, but they won't follow the Kshatriya code. Just like, let's say the Kshatriyas, then somebody loses their weapon, so then the Kshatriya will fight him on equal ground. So if he had his bow and arrow and now he's not using it, he's using a sword, the Kshatriya will put down his bow and arrow and pick up a sword. Or if he uses a club, he'll use that. Or if it's hand to hand, he'll do that. Or they start at a certain time in the morning, right? Because everyone gets up, takes their bath, chants their mantras, says their prayers, does their yajnas and pujas and all that. Then after that, they start the battle. And then at a certain point in the evening, then at the twilight, then the conch blows, the battle stops. So you don't have to worry at night someone's going to come and do something stupid, or in the morning you're doing your puja. So you can focus on your life as a person. So you can't guarantee that the forest dwellers will do this. So that's a very important point that's left out, is that, yes, he had that interest. And, you're seeing with equal vision. Yes, spiritual life they can take up because that is not dependent upon your conditioning. But the Kshatriya activities in that are dependent on conditioning, and he won't have the conditioning that actually has. He may have the karma, but not the guna, right? He may have the skill, but he won't have the proper attitude and character. Does that make sense? They have to match. Strongly desiring greatness in martial sciences, right? Because he wanted greatness. The other ones is that you have to know martial science because it's part of your duties as a Kshatriya. You're supposed to administrate the kingdom, and so then you'll need to have that prowess and be able to fight with others and everything. But here, he just wants to be great in martial arts. So it's more about the skill rather than the skill being supportive of the Kshatriya Dharma. That's his identity, is the skill. We see the difference? Yeah. Right? He practiced alone in the woods. He built an effigy of Drona and worshipped him daily. Right? So he built and made a little deity of Drona and worshipped him, praying to him for skill at weaponry. Right? So if you worship Guru, then Krishna being pleased with that, then there's always benefit. But we can see is that he only gets the skills. He doesn't actually still develop the attitude and all that. Gradually, he became an expert archer. Once, as he was practicing, a dog began to bark loudly and disturb him. Immediately, he released 7 arrows, even without seeing the dog, and sealed the animal's mouth. It so happened that Arjuna and his brothers were in the woods at the time, and they saw the dog, its mouth closed with arrows. They marveled at this and wondered who was responsible for such a feat. Soon they came upon Ekalavya. Seeing the dark-skinned Nishada, smeared with filth and his hair matted, they asked him who he was. Right, so because he went out into the forest to practice, means the Nishadas, they're not necessarily follow the same, let's say, hygienic standards that'll be there, let's say, in the city dwellers and all that. Then on top of that, he was so absorbed in the martial arts, it appears that he didn't even bother taking a bath or combing his hair or anything. He just would get up in the morning, just practice until he's tired at night, and then go to sleep like that. They asked him who he was. He replied, "I am Ekalavya of the Nishadas, a disciple of Drona. I practice alone in these woods with a desire to become the best of archers." Right? And we have to remember before, Drona had already said that he's going to make Arjuna that. Arjuna's bow frowned with perplexity. How was this possible? This boy posed himself as a disciple of Drona, even though rejected by him. Right? So he had come before to surrender to Drona at a school, and he was rejected. So how is it he's a disciple of Drona? Right? So Arjuna doesn't understand, how is this possible? How is this working? No one could claim to be a disciple of a guru unless accepted as such by that teacher, right? So just because you want someone to be your guru doesn't mean that they are. Relationship with the guru, it's a two-way aspect. Is that it's a relationship. So the disciple surrenders to the guru accepts to the disciple. That's how it works. So the idea that, I want to be a disciple of this person or that person, and even I worship them and do all the things that you would if you had been accepted, then of course some benefit will be there, but you can't actually claim to be a disciple because you haven't been accepted. That's the point. So you have to then surrender to somebody who is present, right? You can't say it, because otherwise then someone could say, well, who are you a disciple of? Oh, I'm of this Swami or that Swami. Oh, well, great. And you? Oh, I'm a disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because you've just decided, I'm here, so I worship Bhaktivinoda and all that. And someone else says, oh, wow, that's cool, yeah. But, I'm a disciple of Narad Muni myself, like that. So anything can go on. That's why it has to be that you've approached them, they've accepted you, then you have the relationship. Then whether you have time spent with them or not. So you might just have that formal interaction, that acceptance is there, some direction. And then the rest of your life you may not meet them, and so then you're worshiping them and following the instructions, and you will get benefit, because Krishna's in the heart. He's the original guru. So if he's pleased, you learn. But you have to approach him through guru. So Ekalavya hasn't done that. So that means that he's just approaching as his own whim, as he likes. So it's not about the relationship with the guru. Even though he may show that dedication in that, but that dedication is there because he wants to become the best archer, not that he wants to please Drona. Right? So then that skill that will be gained will be limited compared to the skill gained by the blessing of the spiritual master, by the blessing of elders and Krishna. And Ekalavya had even flouted his so-called guru's order, right? Because his guru told him, I'm not accepting you. But now he's saying he's a disciple of Drona. Right, if he just went into the forest and just practiced and said, I'm just here, I'm practicing on my own and everything like that, then that's fine. But the guru, he went to the guru, said no. And then he's going and saying that he's my guru. So it's not. Drona had told Ekalavya that he could not be a student. The Nishada clearly had no devotion to Drona, despite his outward show of dedication, as he did not accept Drona's order, right? Because the instruction is the main thing. How then could he be allowed to present himself as Drona's disciple? And practically, his best one at that, right? So he's saying that he's the best disciple. That he's learned so much, and he's saying he's the best disciple, but technically he's not a disciple at all. He may just be good at archery. His skills were astonishing, but they had been gained by disobedience. Arjuna went at once to his guru to inform him. After bowing at Drona's feet, Arjuna said, "Master, embracing me to your bosom, you said to me that I shall be the best of all your students. By your grace, this has become true. But I see you have another disciple, the mighty Nishada Prince Ekalavya, whose skills approach mine. The warrior practices alone in the forest, worshipping your lotus feet. Has he become my equal?" Right? So Drona was immediately perturbed. He remembered dismissing Ekalavya, and he could understand Arjuna's intimations and anxiety. After thinking for some moments, he replies, "Come with me, child. We shall see today what caliber of disciple is this prince." Right, because he's saying he's a disciple, so he says, you know, okay, so let's see. Drona went at once with Arjuna into the woods. When Ekalavya saw them approach, he fell to the ground and touched Drona's feet. Right, because he's worshipping now, he's saying he's a disciple, so when Drona comes, naturally he'll offer his obeisances. But we remember as Drona didn't originally accept him. Then he stood before Drona with folded palms, saying, "My lord, I am your disciple. Please order me as you will." So he's just saying, "You're my disciple. You know, I'm your disciple." So Drona looked with surprise at Ekalavya and at his own effigy nearby. Right? So he has a deity of Drona. He recalled the day the forest prince had come to him, even turned away, and had been turned away. Drona was angered that he was now claiming to be a student. Right, because you have principles here, like we said, anybody who can claim to be anything. You know, it's just like you can say, I'd like to be a student of Harvard University or something like that. And so just because I say and I put a picture up of Harvard and every day I offer respects to it and I study all the books and all that, and maybe I become very good at it, but I still can't say I graduated from Harvard. Right? The Kuru preceptor had not desired to impart any martial skills to Ekalavya. Generally, the tribespeople lacked the virtuous qualities of the royalty, and they did not follow the Vedic religion. To give such a person great martial power could be dangerous, right? Because the idea is the Kshatriyas have so much power because they have to have so much character. So if someone has this much power without the character, there may be a problem. So that's the first point. Drona had been especially concerned about Ekalavya, as the Nishada tribe did not cooperate with the Kuru's virtuous rule, right? So the Nishadas, they were a large tribe, so they would have many, many persons in it. But they didn't cooperate with the Kauravas. They'd kind of sit out in the forest, do their own thing. And so they wouldn't work along with or in any way cooperate. So as long as they stay out in the forest, it won't bother anything. But the point is here you have a tribe that doesn't cooperate with the kings. And if they learn all the martial arts and they don't have the character, so the lack of character, the lack of cooperating like this, then with that kind of power, they can just create problems. Because they'll be powerful, they'll take over small kingdoms, they'll take over villages. They'll create so much difficulty that the Kshatriyas will have to come in and straighten out. So the idea is that when you're dealing with people that don't have the character, you can't train them in things that require character, right? People without character then can be trained in those areas that they have the ability for that doesn't require that character. Does that make sense? So any skill like that. So yes, so the Vedic system is that you have to have the ability in the field, but you also have to have the character that matches that. Otherwise, it's a disturbance. Drona would not accept any princes into a school if they belonged to races antagonistic to the Kurus, right? Because he's living under the Kurus, so he has to. So even though he would teach students from far and wide, they still had to be in a favorable mood with the Kurus. He wouldn't teach those who are inimical towards the Kurus, right? Because he's under the protection of the Kurus. They've given the facility. He's their teacher. Drona stood thinking for some time. His first assessment of Ekalavya had obviously been correct. Then Yashoda had shown himself to be lacking in virtue by falsely posing as a student. Clearly, he desired only to be great, known as the student of a famous teacher, but not to actually obey him. Right? So it's a matter of prestige, it's a matter of power. So it's all these things that actually aren't that glorious, you know, lacking the character. So that's why he understood that his first assessment of when he first saw them, then it was correct that, no, I shouldn't teach this person. Smiling a little, Drona said to the Nishada, "O hero, if you really wish to be my disciple, then you must give me my fee," right? The traditional gift of dakshin. "The disciple should be prepared to give anything to the guru. Therefore, I ask you to give me your right thumb." Right? So you're supposed to give a dakshin. And so because what you've gained from the guru, you can't compensate for. You can't actually give something equal. So then it's just whatever, you know, something nice, something simple, something the best of your abilities, depending upon who you are. So in this case, for the Nishada, he said, you know, give me your right thumb, right? Because he shoots the arrows with his right hand. So if he doesn't have the thumb, then he won't always be able to use those. He'll have to use other methods of pulling the bow and loading the arrow. And so when you use the thumb, it just makes it so much easier. And without, you can still do, but, you know, then... Drona knew that this was asking a lot from Ekalavya, right? But he wants to be known as his student. The loss of his thumb would impair his skill at bowmanship. But if he wanted to be known as Drona's disciple, he could not refuse. Right? So either it's, I'm not your disciple, and not give the thumb, and that's fine, because he never was, and then he doesn't claim to be. Or if he wants to say he is, then he has to actually respect the guru. Drona also wanted to show that one cannot please his teacher and achieve perfection by dishonest means. By taking Ekalavya's thumb, he was also removing any threat he or his race might pose to the Kurus. Right? Because otherwise he might come to this point, since they're inimical, that at some point they might come up and start fighting and everything. Drona looked expectantly at the Nishada prince. Ekalavya immediately took out his hunting knife. Though he had been unable to accept Drona's first order, the prince did not want to be considered at fault for failing to give dakshin to his guru, right? Because people would say that's improper. And he knew that all his knowledge and skills would be lost if he refused Drona's request, right? Because he's gained that by worshipping Drona, but if he doesn't give, then he doesn't actually get the skills. They'll be lost. Maybe he'll have them today, but they'll gradually disappear. That's why the Brahmin does the yajna for you, and then you give the dakshin, so you get the benefit. But if you don't get the dakshin, the benefit goes, when the Brahmin leaves after the program, the benefit goes with him. So then, now if he doesn't give the dakshin and he claims he's disciple, that will leave with him. Or he has to say he's not the disciple of Drona, so then it doesn't have the prestige. Without the least hesitation, he cut off his thumb and handed it to Drona. Drona took the thumb and thanked the prince. Raising his hand in blessings, he turned and walked quickly away. Right, so therefore he accepted him as a disciple and gave blessings. Followed by a relieved Arjuna, with his firm action, Drona had clearly upheld religious principles. Right, because these kshatriyas means they have to keep the balance in the political field, and so he was keep maintaining that, because otherwise you have a prince that's not qualified, doesn't have the character, and is inimical towards the Kurus. And so then there's going to be trouble from that. By training him, it would be like taking a snake and feeding it milk. Snakes like milk, but it makes poison. That's my end here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.